Do I really have to go to church? You ever feel that way when you were a kid? You ever feel that way? You ask your mom and your dad, do I have to go to church? I wonder what your mom and dad said. I think I know what they've said. It's likely you might not be here if they'd said something other than what I suspect they said. It's a Sunday morning, and you've partied late on Saturday night. You wake up on Sunday morning, you didn't party late, you just watched the heat, and how about that? You watch the heat, and you're up late, and you get up and you think, boy, I tell you, do I really have to go to Bible class? Interesting question. And that's really going to be the focus of this lesson this morning, is to try to look into the Word of God and to see if we can resolve this. Are you aware of the fact that if I ask the question, what do you have to do? Ever think about that? What do you have to do? Well, there's very little that you really have to do. You know, you don't have to go to work tomorrow. You don't have to go to school. You don't have to get your homework. You don't have to put gas in your car. You want to go down the list? I'm really talking about, what do you really have to do? Now, there are consequences about the choices that you make, and so sometimes because of those consequences, there are things that you have to do. But in reality, you look to the Word of God, what do you have to do? Well, I think the first verse that Gorman Erickson ever memorized in all of his life was Hebrews 9:27. You have to die. Isn't that amazing? It's appointed unto man once to die. Remember, Gorman was a babe in Christ, and he was dangerous with that one verse. You know, he couldn't answer any Bible question at all, but he'd go out and he'd try to teach people. He said, you know, there's something you have to do. You have to die. And the rest of that verse says, the other thing you have to do, and that is you have to be raised and be judged. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And while it may have been on the screen, we overlook the fact you don't even have to treat other people right. You don't have to tell the truth. You know, you don't have to be moral. And you fill in the blanks about that matter of morality. You don't have to do that. Well, what do you really have to do? You have to die, and you have to be judged by God. And there's not anyone that's on this earth, there's not anyone in this auditorium of whom that is true. It's appointed unto man once to die. For death passed to all men, Romans chapter 5 said, as a result of the sin of Adam and Eve. And we are mortal beings. We're not immortal in the sense that we're not subject to death. We are as mortal as Adam and Eve were in the garden when God said, you disobey me, and the day you eat of it, you'll die. And the day they ate of that fruit, they died spiritually that day. And 930 years later, what happened to Adam's happened to almost every person that's ever lived on this earth. You have to die. And so as you think about this, in view of that, you don't really have to go to church, do you? You could have been home this morning. You could have been some other place, and you don't have to go to church. You see, God made us creatures of free will. Adam and Eve in the garden, when Eve reaches up to pluck that fruit off of that tree, God didn't slap her on the hands and say, don't you ever do that again. She had that free will. And whenever she brought that fruit to Adam and offered it to Adam, Adam was not deceived. She really thought that whenever she ate that fruit, she'd be as wise as God. Adam was not deceived, the Bible said. But he didn't have to eat of that fruit. He didn't have to not eat of that fruit in the sense that he had freedom of will to do it or to not do it. So the reality is, you don't have to go to church. Well, why do people go to church? Why do they go? Why are you here? Why is it across America that, you know, about half, a little bit less than half of the people in America today are in some religious assembly and they're worshiping God? Why do they do that? If you don't have to go to church, then why are you there? Well, some go because they have to. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to go, but some go because they have to. You know, it's sort of like those when your wife says, "I'm going to go see my mother, and I want you to go." Do you have to go see your mother-in-law? Well, no, I don't. But yeah, I have to. I'm married, and I'll never hear the end of this. And there are some individuals whose attitude toward God is that I don't have to, but I've got to. And there's something inside of them. And let me say it this way: if you're here today because you have to be here, it's that kind of an attitude. I want you to understand that's the mindset of a slave. A slave in fear does things that he doesn't want to do. And while there is fear in the relationship of God, and fear is a captivating motive in our obedience to God, I want you to understand that true, real Christianity is not because God sits up in heaven with a massive club and the first time we ever do anything wrong, God is just pounding down on us and saying, "You cannot do this, you cannot do this." And I'm here just because I have to be here. Is that why Christ died? So that we'd be just like a robot, a slave, that there is that fear of chastisement, and that's the only motivation that we have, is I just have to be here. I'm not here because I want to be. I'd rather be some other place. But I'm scared to death of God. And we ought to behold the severity of God toward those who are unbelievers. But the Bible says, "Behold then the goodness and the severity of God." Whenever God before creation planned that there would be that time when people would worship Him, and when they would come and open up this book and start reading in this book, Did God intend for them just to be here just out of a sense of dread and not enjoyment and I'm just here because I have to be here? Is that what the cross is all about? Is that really what the cross is all about? You see, while we are slaves of the Lord, we're willing slaves. And we've taken up a cross and we've crucified ourselves and denied ourselves and placed ourselves on the cross, not primarily from a motivation of fear, but we love Him because He first loved us. And if you love me, keep my commandments. And all of a sudden, this relationship about being here today is not just, well, I just have to be there. There's a greater reason, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes in this very lesson. Some folks go to church to be seen, do they not? Ever think about that? Some folks go to church to be seen. What about Matthew chapter 6, where the Lord talks about the Pharisees of His day and what they did? They were people who were fasting and who were praying and who were giving charitable gifts, who financially were involved in making contributions so that people on this earth might be blessed by their contribution. And why did they do it? Well, whenever they prayed, Matthew chapter 6 says, they went down to the street corner when they were giving gifts, they blew the trumpet so that everybody would see them as they, and whenever they were fasting, they disfigured their faces. And the Lord rebukes that kind of a have-to kind of attitude that says, I'm doing this so everybody will look at me and think that I'm righteous. In fact, Matthew chapter 23 says that all their works they do to be seen of men. There are some people in religious assemblies today because they want to be seen of others. And worship of God and coming to church is not to come here to call attention to ourselves. It's not so people can see the kind of car we drive in or the kind of clothes that we're wearing. And they're not here to see that we sing the loudest and pray the most fervent and pray the longest kind of prayers. They're not here because we're the ones who are always saying amen in an external kind of way. All their works they do to be seen of men. And the Lord says in the present tense, they have their reward. Their reward is not out there in the future. For those who truly pray and those who truly give and those who truly fast, the motivation has nothing to do with being seen of men. It's all going out there into the future. May I suggest to you that some go to church because of social pressure. Peer pressure perhaps, but just mama and daddy think I ought to be here, therefore that's why I'm here. Or my neighbors think, or the folks that I work with, because I live in an America that purports to be a Christian nation and I want to be a part of that Christian nation, then I'm here because of political correctness. So that on Monday in the workplace you can say, well, let me tell you about church yesterday, and it has very little to do with trying to tell them about God and tell them about the Lord. You just wanted everybody to know that you are the ones, unlike those who slept in, I went to church. And the motivation behind it is social. I won't suggest to you that some people don't go to church, and you may have seen the word go to church in quotation marks already again and again. Some folks don't go to church. Some go to worship. And I want you to look at that list, and you could add some other things up there about why people go to church. But there's a massive difference in the concept of going to church and going to worship. And so instead of thinking about, well, I have to go to church, it's not I have to go to worship. I get to go to worship. Can we think about that for a minute? What do we mean whenever we talk about I get to go to worship? Well, I get to go and praise God. Do you know how our singing must sound to God, who has a heavenly choir of 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands of angels praising Him? You know how terrible it might sound from a human perspective? But God says, I'm going to establish the church. And that's going to be the kind of places where people come and they praise me. We don't have time to look at a lot of the Psalms, but think about the text that was read. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another. Our young people, your children, have watched you this very day And the attitude with which you worship God and the enjoyment with which you worship God, not if you come just to go to church, but I've come here because I want to praise God, and one generation shall praise your works to another and declare your mighty acts. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all. His saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. You begin talking about this concept of the kingdom, and there perhaps is really an element of the messianic aspect of this, of how in the church one generation teaches another generation to praise God because God is worthy of the praise. And can you imagine on a little speck of dust called earth, of all of the massive universe of God, 100 billion stars in each galaxy and 100 billion galaxies, there's a little spot called earth. And I'm on that little gravel. And God stops the music of heaven to hear me sing. I get to praise God. I get to talk to God. I come to worship because I want to talk to God. Freddie, thank you for that prayer. I get to talk to God about my brothers and sisters who are getting older. They're shut-ins. God gets to hear me. I get to talk to God about those that I love who are facing surgery. And I get to talk to God about our missionaries. I get to talk to God about my sins. And I know heaven is not this way at all. It's a rather foolish way to look at it, but sometimes I never get above the kindergarten level of thinking about my relationship to God. And here God is on the throne, and all of the activity, myriads of things happening all over heaven, and all of a sudden, someone stands at this mic and someone says, "Let us pray." And he words that prayer, and my heart is a part of that prayer, and we as one come up before God, and God says in heaven, "Stop all of this happening in heaven. I want to listen to those folks down at Palm Beach Lakes and what they want to talk to me about." That's why I come to worship. I come to worship because I get to see Jesus. Not literally. But I'll drink of this cup in the Father's kingdom, and where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. I didn't go to church to be seen. I didn't go to church because of social pressure. I didn't go to church just because of an I have to attitude. I came because Jesus is here and I want to be where Jesus is. That's why I worship. There are a lot of folks and a lot of things on this earth that I could be with, and a lot of things that I could see. But I come to worship because I want to see Jesus. I come to worship because I can give to God. First, think about our monies. God doesn't need our silver and our gold. He owns all the silver and all of the gold, and He owns the universe, and it's all His. And all I'm doing is just giving something back to Him that is already His. And yet God said, "I can take that gift of yours." I give Him the fruit of my lips. I give Him my heart. And I come, I don't go to church. I come to worship because it's in this place that I can take all of the frailties that I have and the inadequacies that I have in whatever it is, in preaching or in praying or in singing or in whatever. And God looks down and it ascends up into heaven as a sweet-smelling savor. And I give back to Him that which is already His. I'll tell you why I don't just go to church. I come to worship because I get to listen to God speak. You understand what happens in our Bible classes? You understand what's happening in this pulpit? If David and I and others who stand in this pulpit do what God says, if any man speak as the oracles of God, let him speak as the oracles of God, then the very message that needs to come from this very pulpit and the very sermons that are preached and are taught in our Bible classes need to be the very sermons and lessons that Jesus Himself would give to us. If He were here and we were listening to the Lord Himself, and the more that we see Him in that mountain, and when He said, we come unto Him, and He opens the mouth and speaks to us these words that He spoke on that mountain. He speaks these words in our assembly. I come here to listen to God speak. That's what preaching is all about. Every other time in our worship, we're active. But at this time, it's when God is active and God is trying to speak to our hearts. And the words of God and the Holy Spirit of God and the almighty words of God are trying to take that is within us that we hate and despise and wish we weren't that way and to purge that from our lives. And I go to worship because I believe God will change me when I listen to God. And then on more of a selfish level, but it's not selfishness, I go to worship because I get to be with the saints of God. It's an oasis. It's the place where we can come in. And hopefully there's no greetings that's hypocritical. And there's no warmth of expression and concern that is any a facade at all. But it is from the depths of your hearts and the depths of the hearts of those who speak to you that say, how are you doing? Tell me about this. Tell me about that. You see, I get to be with the saints, and the Bible word for that is this commonness that we have, this fellowship. And I almost put the word slash and put in all capital letters the word family. Because we're family. Love being around family. And I come to encourage others and to be encouraged by them. Paul told the church at Rome, I long to see you that I might impart some things to you and that we might mutually edify each other. To paraphrase those verses in Romans chapter 1. I come to worship. Because I need you to lift up my spirit that's crushed. And I need to be able to reach out to you and to lift up your spirits when it's crushed by all that's in this world. I come to encourage and to be encouraged. I come because the Word of God is preached and there are people who are thinking about changing their lives, and I want to be there whenever they make that decision to change their lives, and I want to be there whenever they make that decision to become Christians, and I want to be a part of that, and I want to be a part of praying for those who are lost and praying for the proclamation of the Word of God and praying that the Lord would bless the church. Because you see, Christianity is a community of righteousness, redeemed, separated from the guilt of our sins, with hearts and lives that are changed to encourage each other. Do you know the verse from Psalm 122 where David says, I was, you fill in the blanks, when they said, let's go up to the house of the Lord. Psalm 122, David said, I was glad. I'd go to the house of the Lord. And I'm going there to worship. I'm not going there to be showy. I'm not going there to display. I'm not going there for any reason other than the fact that when I am there, I'm with God's people, being encouraged by God. I was glad when they said, let's go up to the house of the Lord. Well, do I have to come every Sunday? No, you don't have to. You don't have to come any Sunday. You get to. You don't have to eat the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You get to. Well, what do I have to come Sunday night and Wednesday night? No, you don't have to. No, 1,000 times no. You don't have to come Sunday night and Wednesday night. You don't have to live right. But just so you can understand that God even talks to those who approach Him asking the question, do I have to worship God? Do I have to go to church? Like a slave would say, tell me the least I can do and be pleasing to the Master. God, tell me the minimum requirement so I can go into heaven. Tell me how many times in a week's time I have to go to worship You. Well, doesn't Hebrews 10:25 say something about worshiping God? When it says, thou shalt not forsake the assembly of the saints. You couldn't say it much plainer than that. We've changed the wording so that it is in keeping with the thou shalt of the Ten Commandments. But Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together, as is the manner of some. There were folks in the first century who chose not to go to worship. Oh, they'd go to church whenever they wanted to. But their habit was to not worship God. And they have that right. You don't have to worship God. But if your relationship to God is on a slave mentality that says, tell me the minimum requirement that I can do and still go to heaven. Well, certainly Hebrews 10:25 says, don't you forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Is that plain? Well, somebody said, well, let's talk about Sunday morning. Well, I would ask you, are you sure that's what it's talking about? Some of the saints assembled, at least in some places, some of the time, every day. And obviously there are circumstances that keep individuals, sickness and other things like that, keep individuals from being there. And that's outside the realm of the verse that says, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together. But what about those verses that says, thou shalt be subject, submit yourself to the elders. You don't have to do that. You can ignore the fact that the elders think that for your spiritual growth, that you need more food than just a Sunday morning sermon. And that's why we have Sunday night services. That's why we have Wednesday night services. You don't have to come. You don't have to submit yourself to those who watch for your souls. But if God ordained in the church that there be spiritually minded men who watch for our souls, and spiritually minded men say, these are the Bible classes that'll help you grow. These are the subjects that need to be taught in this church. These are the lessons that our young people need to hear. The elders look at the educational program of the church and said, that's what needs to be in this church. And the elders say, for the spiritual growth of the sheep in this place. And Hebrews 13:7 says, obey them that have the rule over you, submitting yourself to them. As I thought about this concept, wives, you don't have to submit yourself to your husbands. But the man who with the most force would say to his wife, see, the Bible says you've got to submit, and woman, you've got to submit. We'll look at a verse that says, submit yourself to the elders, for they watch for your souls, that they may do it with joy. What does submit mean? It's amazing how we get it in some places and act as though it's not there. When the elders say, for your spiritual growth, you need to worship God. You see, will you think for just a moment? If the only time you ever think about God is at Sunday morning, in that morning, Sunday morning assembly, you're dying. You cannot grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord unless there's some time in your life. And for sure, if you're not doing it on your own and studying the Bible, you're starving to death. Use the words of Isaiah, you're laboring, you're feasting yourself on food that will not satisfy. We need to understand that. I get to go to every service. I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I get to go to every service because I get to praise God. I enjoy praising God, not just Sunday morning. I enjoy praising God every time. I get to talk to God. I get to hear my brethren talk to God. I get to join my heart and soul with the heart and soul of the saints of God, and we'll go to God and ask God to bless those who are facing death and those who are having death in their families and their loved ones. I get to talk to God. The reason I go to all of the services is because I get to see Jesus. The reason I go to all the services is because I get to give of myself to God. The reason I go to all of the services is because I get to listen to God. The reason I go to all of the services are I get to be with the saints. Folks, isn't that what life is all about? And isn't that why God made me? And isn't this the path that God says this is the road to happiness? And I don't come to church because I have to. I come to worship because I want to. And so when somebody says, when a preacher says, let's go up and worship God tonight at 6 o'clock. Fill in the blank. I was blank when the elder said, let's worship God tonight. Fill in the blank. I was blank when the elder says, let's get together on Wednesday night and study and encourage and edify and praise and talk and listen to God. David said, I was glad when you said, let's go worship God. This is a place where we're trying to help each other get to heaven. We're trying to help our homes be Christians. We're trying to mold and shape the lives of our young people and mold and shape and edify those who are parents and mold and shape and encourage those who are spiritually struggling and doing everything we can to encourage those who are older and who's coming to the end of their life. And we're trying to uplift the spirits of those who are depressed. And so David said, I was glad when they said, let's go worship God. And I hope you'll look inward. I hope you'll think at your life, think about your spirituality. And if you need to make some changes about choices that you are making and that you have been making over the past weeks and months and perhaps even years, then you'll say, I need to see Jesus and I need to listen to God and I need to talk to God and I need to be with the saints and I need to praise Him. And I'm not going to church. I get to go worship God. God help us. I'm not angry with anyone. I just want you to go to heaven. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, for Palm Beach Lakes is for us to be saved and for us to be in eternity without the loss of a single person that's here this morning. And I haven't got it all together. I'm just a beggar that's been trying to find food and I find the food, and as one beggar to a host of beggars I say, come, let us feast together. Let us be different people. You need to worship God. To do that, you need to be His child. You become His child by believing in Jesus as the Son of God and making up your mind, changing your mind, I'm going to follow Him. That's repentance. You need to confess your faith in Jesus. There are Bible verses on the screen for every word that we've just said. And you need to be baptized to be His child. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Not he who is believed is saved and sometimes it'd be a good idea if he did it. No. The one who is saved in Mark 16:16 is the one who believes and responds in such a way that he ends up with him being baptized. That's the one that's going to be saved. And the Lord will forgive you and add you to the church. And he says, be faithful. Be full of faith until you die. And because faith comes from hearing the Word of God, that's why we need to come to worship, to have our faith built. Let's go to heaven, brethren.